Red River Cafe is a sponsor and part of Family Hope Radio. Red River Cafe is a family-style restaurant located just south of Leslie, Arkansas, on Highway 65 next to the bridge crossing the Little Red River. The restaurant is open 7 days a week and serves breakfast, lunch, and supper. Their food menu includes items such as fried catfish, daily lunch specials, as well as a selection of homemade desserts such as chocolate rolls. More information about daily lunch specials is available by visiting their Red River Cafe Facebook page.
Family Hope Radio weathercast is predicting sunny skies today with a high near 62 degrees. Tonight should be clear with a low falling to 38 degrees, and Sunday skies are expected to be sunny with a high near 68 degrees and winds blowing out of the south from 15 to 25 miles an hour. Coming up, our Saturday talk show lineup on your powerhouse for Christian living.
Good morning, everybody. We want to welcome you to Red Letters. We appreciate you being here.
Nope.
Today
wrong
was,
day.
It is,
wrong
isn't it?
Day.
Welcome to the altar? No. This is the ag preacher, isn't it? I tell you what, I've been up a while, but I'm not up. Isn't that what it is? Welcome to the ag preacher. Somebody out there. There's somebody out there going,
wait a minute.
What program? I usually listen to the ag preacher this morning. Yeah, we welcome you to the Hag Preacher. I'm glad you're here. I would have walked right through that and never even.
I thought you were just joking. Because I was over here.
I could have played it off like that.
I was hearing the intro music thinking, that is waking someone up this morning.
Yeah.
That would rattle you out of your bed.
Well, we've gotten some feedback here recently about folks that listen to the program. Every morning at 7:05, you're my hero. You really are. Thanks for getting up and turning the radio on and tuning in to see what we have to say. But I'm going to tell you, it's something that God puts on our heart each and every week. Sometimes we get it early in the week. Sometimes I get it weeks before. And then sometimes we come in here with just a praising attitude. It doesn't feel like it real early in the morning sometimes, but every day that you get up is a day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice in it. And when we get behind these microphones, it's really, really a special time that we can listen to Him, listen to each other, and we want to talk with you. We hope that's what it is when two or three are gathered in His name. He's with us, right?
Yes.
Well, there's two here in this
studio. And it's a beautiful
studio,
day.
And it's a beautiful day. Going to be a beautiful day as well. We've had some nice weather. Thank the Lord for the rain. Man, thank you for the rain, Lord. The creek's flooded. It's done this. It's done that. I understand that. But, you know, over the last 10 or 15 years, I've seen some dry weather that we did not have 20, 25 years ago.
Well, we didn't just get rain yesterday, so... need to be praying not only for the people of the state, especially south of here, but everyone east of us. They're being touched right now, and in not a pleasant way. So need to remember them in your prayers this morning.
Absolutely, in our ag community here in this area, you know, in the hills when we. Think about the hills and the rain like that, and we've been touched by disasters as well, but not sweeping the way it was through the plains yesterday. But water tends to flow off around here, and as much water as we can get, we need to hang on to it. Hopefully the ground's saturated where you are, and hopefully it flows off as well, because It's difficult when it hangs around. Well, where are we going? I want to start off in Ezekiel 33, and I think I have an interesting topic for you this morning. We're going to listen to what the Lord has to say. There's no telling where he's going to take us. And we appreciate you joining us, like I said, early on a Saturday morning. No, it's not Red Letters. It's the Ag Preacher. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's easy to go through seasons of life taking things for granted and thinking it'll all work out. However, when life is disrupted, we start thinking more intentionally. Like the people we care about, they're even more important. But only one thing offers us peace that lasts for eternity, and that's knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you want to learn more about what Jesus Christ did for you, or how to have a personal relationship with Him and find eternal peace, call or text us at 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
The Marshall Church of Christ works to model itself after a New Testament church. No gimmicks, no entertainment, no priority on social events. The priority is on God and His Son, Jesus. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. The living Word is our standard and our guide. Please come visit or ask for a Bible study. Please message us on Facebook at Marshall, Arkansas Church of Christ.
This is Max McLean. When our soul is in pain, to whom can we turn? Listen to the Bible from Psalm 130. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. From Psalm 130, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Be able to hear the Word of God today and every day. To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
Family Hope Radio is sponsored in part by United Country Central Ozarks Real Estate. United Country Real Estate provides a way to connect buyers and sellers within the marketplace. Their agents offer advice for those looking to buy or sell properties. United Country offices are located in Leslie and Clinton, Arkansas. More information is available at 870-447-2675 or online at centralozarksrealestate.com.
Family Hope Radio is your listener-supported community radio station. Because of faithful supporters like you, we continue reaching the world for Christ at 88.1 FM and through the free Family Hope Radio app or online at familyhoperadio.com. If you're interested in supporting this radio outreach, online giving is available by going to familyhoperadio.com, your source for ministry, plus the best in contemporary and flashback Christian music.
Thank you, Cindy's Salon and Spa, located at 202 Zach Road in Marshall, Arkansas, for your financial support of KCGS 88.1 FM, Family Hope Radio.
We want to welcome you back to what?
Ag Preacher.
The Ag Preacher. Thank you. Welcome back.
Keeps who life was, interesting.
Who was Paul Revere? Wait a minute. In Jeopardy, the question is the answer. So this person was born in North England, neighborhood of Boston, at the end of 1734. To a French Huguenot, rather, father who ran a silversmith shop and a mother from a local family. He was educated in reading and writing in school before completing his training as an apprentice to a silversmith father. At age 19, he inherited the business upon his father's death, but he left the business briefly. We could go on and on about the biography. Who is Paul Revere? Paul Revere was the one who rode through the streets.
And said?
Well, let's not say
okay.
what he said. He got upset at one point in his life. The British troops in Boston, and there was a rebellion, and Revere became a master propagandist, using his artisan skills to craft engravings that incited the colonists to join in a rebellion against the British. The growing unrest boiled over in March 5th, 1770, when British troops and a crowd of colonists faced off on Boston's King Street near the Customs House. The tense standoff ended in the Boston Massacre, as the British used their bayonet rifles to shoot and kill five unarmed colonists. One of Revere's best-known pieces of propaganda depicted the violent night. He reworked a Henry Pelham drawing in an engraving and widely distributed prints of the stark image of British troops taking aim at the colonists. That would upset you, wouldn't it?
Very much.
That would bother you. And so we can see the background of Paul Revere and why he would be upset about the occupation of England and America. And just to kind of say, why am I talking about this? Well, if you've previewed Ezekiel 33, we'll tie it all back in there. But you can see how upset he was. And you can, if you go back and read, and there's a couple of movies, there's a couple of videos as well that kind of show what some of the meetings were like throughout the Americas. You didn't want to stand out on the street corner and denounce the British occupation. But when they had meetings, some were for and some were against. Some wanted to keep England right where it was and doing what it was. It made them rich. Some of them, it gave them security. And you can go in the Bible and you can look at the Israelites when they were in Egypt. They were slaves, mind you. For how many years? 500 years? And God delivered them from slavery. And one incident, being pinned up against the Red Sea and looking back and seeing Pharaoh's army coming. They said, "You brought us out here to die. At least back there we had food and a bed." You know, there are some people that don't understand what freedom. They've never been free before. Therefore, they don't understand what freedom is. Maybe for generations, a people have been led around and they don't know any different. They just want to be comfortable. They want to eat tomorrow regardless. And I feel like, not getting political here, but I feel like in America we're kind of at that point. We're far from the freedom I believe we had 100 years ago.
Very much so.
I believe we're far from the freedom the pioneers had headed across the plains. They had what I thought was ultimate freedom. Even the resistance from Native Americans, even with the starvation, even with, you know, all the problems that came with being so far away from civilization and going across the plains and founding America, they were free. Absolutely free. And Paul Revere had that in his heart. He had that through lots of experiences, I'm sure, with an occupational England. And so he was settling into his Boston home in the early 1770s. He became active politically. He responded to the new laws about tea imports that bypassed Boston's merchants by attending secret meetings with the inner circle who planned the Boston Tea Party. Revere joined other activists and dumped tea from the British East India Company on December 16, 1773, to Boston's harbor. His activism extended beyond the confines of Boston when Revere began work as a courier and rode from Boston to New York on horse. to spread information about the colonies. He was a worker. He didn't just ride through the streets one night and make an announcement. He had been a worker for the cause. He had been right in the middle of all of it. And when his associates, this is according to the History Channel, this or the History.com webpage, when his associates learned the British were moving troops out of Boston and planned to arrest revolutionary leaders Samuel Adams and John Hancock in Lexington, Massachusetts, Revere was tasked with tipping them off to help them avoid arrest. He first used a signal system and had two lanterns placed in the Old North Church steeple in Boston to alert those on the harbor that the troops had left Boston and were crossing the Charles River. Then at about 10 p.m. on April 18, 1775, Revere set out in the dark from his North Boston home by horse with William Dawes to reach Adams and Hancock. The two riders met Adams and Hancock in Lexington and enabled the revolutionaries to avoid arrest. Revere's next stop that late night was Concord, Massachusetts, a hotbed of the resistance and suspected location of the British troops' second attack. But Revere, Dawes, and a third rider named Samuel Prescott were captured by the British en route, and only Prescott reached Concord. Revere was soon released, but he had already helped give the colonial militia a key advantage by alerting them to the impending attack of the British. So Revere remained active in the Revolutionary War, building Boston's first gunpowder mill and joining a Massachusetts infantry. Now Henry Wadsworth Longfellow writes in Paul Revere's Ride, "Listen, my children, you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere, and depicts a dangerous midnight ride as Revere warns the colonists about the British attack. The poem recounts his lantern signal system in the lines, one if by land, two if by sea." Why am I taking so much time on this?
Well,
he's involved. He cares about not only himself, but look what he was doing.
He was loving his neighbor.
He was loving everyone. What was he doing? What was he doing? He did not come to your home. Paul Revere didn't go to a home and say, resist the British. He went to meetings, yeah. He put out notices all over the place saying, you know, the British are this and the British that. But he didn't try to make anybody do anything. He just alerted those folks. He alerted the folks to impending danger. Over and over again, he would do that. He was filling them in. He was offering them freedom. And I like that. I love that. One if by land, two if by sea. One if by land, two if by sea. The soil and the water. Two tremendous things in the word that are preached and have so much significance to us. We are the soil. We plant the word in the soil. We cleanse our spouses with washing of the water, the word. Jesus is the water. Right? One if by land, two if by sea. We know how it's coming if we look at the lamps, the top of the tower. But then we hear the message. The British are coming. British are coming.
And it woke people up. A revolution. This is out of Webster, 1828. I have this on my phone because I'd like to go back to the original. When I look things up in the Word, I'll go to my Strong's Concordance and I'll go back to the original. Greek, Hebrew. I'll go back as far as it will allow me, because if you can't get to the root, then you can't fully grasp what's going on. You also cannot remedy something. And every time I hear that word remedy, I think about Skip having to, you know, spray something. Because remedy is something that is used in the agricultural realm when you're dealing with your crops and dealing with weeds, weed control, stuff like that. You have to use remedy. What does Remedy do? Just real quick. I know I wouldn't go on there, but can you explain real quick what Remedy, what do you use Remedy for?
Remedy, the spray that you're talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's can be a brush killer. It's a general, you know, broad spectrum weed killer, basically.
Okay. And then there's times that you add, is it surfactant?
Yeah. How deep do you want me to explain that?
Just the small one. Yeah. The small one.
Well, if you put a drop of water on a leaf, it will be round and it will sit up kind of high. If you put a surfactant in that water, then it'll spread out. In other words, it reduces the surface tension of the water. That's what your Dawn dishwashing liquid does. Put Dawn dishwashing liquid in water and it makes it spread out over the dish and you don't have spots. Surfactant does the same thing.
Okay.
Makes it spread out. Where were you going with that?
Well, Holy Spirit kind of does the same thing because he will completely cover us.
Yeah.
When yep. he pours, when he's poured out, he'll completely cover us.
Blood,
and
the
it'll,
blood doesn't,
and he'll cause it to spread.
The blood doesn't spot on us. It covers us.
Holy Spirit, though, yes. will cause it to spread. That's what I was saying, because when I woke this morning, that was what I was hearing was pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. And you guys know how much the wind has been blowing lately. Well, wind, we talk about winds of change, and we have so many sayings in our culture. But then you're talking about Paul Revere. Revolution. It was a time of revolution. And again, the definition, Webster's 1828, says in Revolution and concerning to politics, even though we're not trying to be political this morning, we weren't going there necessarily. Revolution is a material or entire change in the constitution of government. And it will restore the constitution to its primitive state, to the original. Sometimes we can be in a thing so long that we change forms. We lose ourselves in the process. We've, you know, maybe so much time has gone and in all of our aggression to grow and change, we lose ourselves. And so sometimes we need to be brought back to the root. We need to be brought back to the original. Because we forget, we always tell people, don't forget where you came from. Families will tell their children that before they leave to go to college, you know, kids leaving or kids getting married and leaving home. Don't forget how you were raised. Don't forget where you came from. Well, for the body of Christ, it's eminently important that we not forget who we belong to, where we come from, and what he has put in us. And all of this, that we see changes in the world, when we see it all comes back to how the body of Christ is walking out their faith. Because if you've lost your way and you've gone amiss, everything else in an area, everything else in a body of government, a state, a nation, everything else will go a different direction because you were sent in. You are the troops sent in to warn the people. You're the troops, the body of Christ. We're the troops sent out among the people to establish the jurisdiction of the Father in heaven. Thus, the prayer of our Savior, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're sent out as the ecclesia, that's the word. It is a governmental judicial term of the kingdom of heaven. We're sent out to do as kind of like the Romans did, but we're to make an exact replica of the kingdom of heaven in an area. That's what we're here to do. And that brings people into relationship with our Father. And it establishes the way of the original, which is in heaven. God's original plan, his he doesn't have night or day, but his mode of operation in the earth, on the earth, as it is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Ezekiel 33, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them. That's where we're going to start when we come back on the next segment. You're listening to The Ag Preacher. We'll be right back.
And now, your Pathway Minute with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Think about the complexity of human life. We know that the protein molecule is the most basic unit of human life. It's the building block of the cell. What are the chances, the probability that the right amino acids could randomly assemble together to provide just one protein molecule? You've heard me say before, the chances are 1 in 10 to the 160th power. To put that in perspective, that would be about the same probability, one astronomer said, of a tornado ripping through a junkyard and randomly assembling a fully functioning 747 jetliner. When you consider the vastness of creation, the miracle of life, you are overwhelmed by a respect for God's power.
Pathway Minute is produced by Pathway to Victory. To access the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org.
Here's a message from 8-year-old Jordan, who is a singer and dancer in Uganda, encouraging you to listen to Intentional Marriage 101.
Hello, praise God. My name is Anointed Jordan. I am 8 years old. I'm from Uganda. I listen to Mama and Papa on Family Hope Radio, 88.1 FM at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. every Saturday. Be blessed as you're listening.
Baseball card collecting can result in a great dividend. That's if you invest in the right cards. Often, their true value isn't realized until years later. So if you get rid of them too soon, you could be throwing treasure in the trash. We make the same mistake if we don't realize our worth and tend to throw ourselves away by making bad choices. But you are worth so much to Jesus. Learn why. Call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us live at needhim.org.
KCGS is sponsored in part by Ferguson's Country Store and Restaurant, located at the intersection of Highway 65 and 333, close to Gilbert, Arkansas. Ferguson's Restaurant provides the public with dine-in and takeout food service. Ferguson's also offers a gift shop, which includes wood furniture and accessories. Their hours of operation are Sunday, Monday, and Thursday from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. and Friday and Saturdays from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. More information is available at 870-439-2234.
KCGS 88.1 FM, where variety is a spice of life.
Here's a question for you. Did Paul Revere win the Revolutionary War? He didn't win. He didn't win it.
He just played his part, though.
Exactly. What was his part?
Warn the people.
His part was to warn the people. And it used to be a program here on the station, the Eric Metaxas program, and he does a video. I've got the transcript right here, but he's talking about Paul Revere. He said, if we forget these brave men, we forgot what they stood for. Therefore, we will forget what America means. Just like an individual who's lost his memory no longer knows who he is, a nation or a hope, or a nation or a people that loses its memory no longer knows who they are. And I think he's right in that as far as our nation goes. But that's also true when it comes to the Word of God. We jump into the middle of the New Testament church. We jump into the middle of the New Testament and the building of the church, should I say. And we forget all the foundations that it stood on, that it stands on. And I want to read you before we get into Ezekiel 33, and I'm going to read it, quite a bit of it, but I want to introduce this portion, this segment of the program with Matthew 10, 26. Listen to the first few words. Matthew 10, 26. And it is Jesus talking here. He says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everybody who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." And I could go on through Matthew chapter 10. In the next few verses, I won't read those right now, but it says he comes, "I've not come to bring peace, but a sword."
Mm-hmm.
It'll pit people against people. But what he says in verse 37, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." How deep is that?
He's talking about worth a lot. That's the key word in much of this. Know your worth and know your worth in me.
Right.
He knows his worth.
What he's saying is this message will happen. This message is going to happen, folks. If he gives it to you to tell, you should tell it. Where? On the rooftops. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In the streets. In the grocery store. At work. You need to tell the tale. It's not a tale. It's the truth. You need to tell the truth. Spread the truth of the word. Everywhere you go and everything that you do. And I'm going to tell you, I've used this example many times on this program. Someone's headed to a cliff, and they're about to experience gravity in a large way. You know what gravity does. You know what's going to happen if they reach that cliff. Or are you going to say, "Hey, how's it going? Have a nice day. See you later. Hey, I don't want to upset you. I don't want to offend you. So I'm just going to say hello. Have a nice day," as they run by and off the cliff. You're not going to do that. You're going to say, "Watch out, there's a cliff." Right?
Every time.
How come we'll do that to save the physical body, but we won't spread the word to save the spiritual?
Because we've lost our way. We've made it all about us and what we can experience with our five fleshly senses.
You tied it in, right?
Instead of the one sense, the spirit, which is what we actually are.
Well, when I see you talk about Jesus too much. Well,
somebody tells me that, I know they're off course. I know they are.
I like to talk about Jesus.
They've lost their way.
Ezekiel 33, I want you to hear this. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet, It warns the people that if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. If the alarm sounds and you don't respond, your own blood is upon your own head. Verse number 5, Ezekiel 33, he goes on to say, he heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. You know, we can read stories about Paul Revere. And we can see that play out and we go, that's plain as day. You know, if I had lived back in those times and I had been involved in the resistance as much as Paul Revere, I would love to have been on that horse and ride through town saying the British are coming. I would have planted the lamps in the tower, one if by land, two if by sea, as the Longfellow poem says. Reading what Eric Metaxas had to say a while ago, and I've read it before, Paul Revere died without a single mention of his ride. Nobody remembered what he did. Not until Longfellow brought it out in a poem. What did he do it for? He didn't do it for renown. Mm-hmm. He did not do it for publicity. He didn't do it because it would make him famous. He was doing what needed to be done for the cause. He wanted to save lives. He wanted this idea of the United States, of America, to materialize. He wanted that to happen. And if he had done that ride and they had lost and he was in prison, they would have executed him for resisting England, right?
Right.
He did it even at the risk of his own life.
He counted the cost.
Yeah.
Which is what many have not done, don't do. Count the cost. What is the cost? Well, it goes back to the very beginning, where if we'll die to ourselves and take up our cross daily, follow Christ, we'll realize what we did. We talked about this yesterday. When you go down into the baptismal water, you die. It's a representation of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's Jesus living in you. And he's the purpose. So it's the purpose that's living in and through us. It's not us. It's not making sure that we reproduce ourselves. We're reproducing what we've been given. And you count the cost. You should have already counted the cost.
And what is the cost? It's your life.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
It's someone else's life. Listen to this. Verse number 6, Ezekiel 33. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. The person that the signal was intended for, would have been intended for, he'll still be taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care about your neighbor? Love your neighbor, it says. Do you care that much about him to spread the word at all costs? At the cost of your reputation? At the cost of the way everyone sees you? At the cost of your time? Okay? Verse number 7, we're going to end this segment with verse number 7 and 8. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, yes, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall still die in his iniquity. But you will have delivered your soul. What if Paul Revere had not proclaimed the British were coming? What if he had not set the lamps in the tower? Well, this message is much more important than the message that he had. You're listening to The Ag Preacher. We'll be right back.
Knowing God from Harvest with Pastor and Evangelist Greg Laurie.
The Bible says we live our life like a story that's been told. And you know, in every good story, there's conflict. That's what makes a movie interesting. That's why you like certain films and you watch them again and again, because here's the good guy, here's the adversary, here's the conflict. Good guy overcomes it, prevails in the end. We like stories like that. And we must remember, despite our immediate circumstances, God is always at work. The greatest good of all time came from the worst travesty of justice. Jesus knew the future. He knew what was coming down, and he knew he was not going to be delivered from that cross. In fact, he knew he was going to be betrayed by one of his own hand-picked disciples, Judas Iscariot, and he knew the others were going to go into hiding, and he knew that Simon Peter was going to openly deny him. Jesus was in the middle of a story, and he knew ultimately the resurrection would come. Then the ascension would come. Then the salvation of all those that put their faith in him would come. So despite how awful it was, he knew the greatest good would come from the worst thing imaginable. And if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that when you die, you will go to heaven, come to Jesus.
You were created to know God. Find out how to begin a relationship with Him by going to harvest.org. Just click on Know God. Already know God? Invite others to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. Answers to questions about the Christian faith, online courses for Christian growth, and video messages from Pastor Greg Laurie can be found at harvest.org.
Golden Pawn Shop is a sponsor in part of programming on Family Hope Radio. Along with this pawnbroker service, the store buys, sells, and trades a selection of items such as jewelry, firearms, and tools. Golden Pawn is located on Highway 65 North in Harrison, Arkansas. More information is available at 870-741-6204.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Thank you, Baker Eye Institute, located in Clinton and Conway, Arkansas, for your financial support of KCGS 88.1 FM, Family Hope Radio.
All right, welcome back to the program. Kind of rough words there from Ezekiel. Here's some rougher words, and I won't tell you where I'm getting this from. It sounds so Old Testament-ish. I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. You think that I've come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided. Three against two, two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. You know what that sounds like? Sounds like the Civil War. Mm-hmm. That sounds like the Civil War. They were neighbors. I chose different sides. Could you imagine sharing the same donkey or mule? Sharing a fence row? Sharing hunting ground? Probably having meals together? Because you differed on, you know, the political ideals at the time? You were ready to kill them. Amazing to me. That's kind of a picture. In fact, that was from Luke 12, and you can read it. That was Jesus saying that. Am I saying, well, a great church is one that's divided? That's not what I'm saying. I'm only reading what Jesus said. His word.
His word divides.
Is though. Freedom. It divides. It shows the differences in people and ideas and things.
It exposes.
Yes. But in that, it brings freedom. And we were just talking about the Revolutionary War. It does. It brings freedom. Freedom can only come through victory. That's the reason we have salvation. Jesus had to go win because he could give freedom through victory.
That's the difference in the person who is trying to maintain a peaceful situation. They just want everybody to to get along. Mm-hmm. That's the difference right there. Those are your peace keepers. Those are the peace keepers. But see, Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peace makers, for they will be called the children of God." How do you make peace? It requires an implementation of a standard.
Yes.
And everyone must conform to that. He brings everything to peace. It's not a disbursement for the sake of just everyone getting along.
Right.
It doesn't keep everybody on the same mindset because not everybody's going to agree. Peace is only made after you deal with the situation. It requires confrontation.
Well, if you're trying to find peace because there's not any confrontation, that is not peace. Jesus was peace. He walked the earth as peace, and he was sought at all times. We brought this up.
But they weren't seeking him. The reigning ones weren't seeking him so that they could get along and go along with him. They were seeking him so that they could shut him up, put him away, and kill him.
You brought it up a little bit earlier about when you realize it's not about you. Folks, this whole existence is not about us. It's about Jesus. It is.
Everything.
Bit of it is. Every bit of it. The closer you get to him, the further away you're getting to the from the world. Are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read these right quick in that Luke 12 that I had just spoken from, 54, 55, 56. Listen to this. He said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, 'A shower is coming.' So it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be scorching heat.' And it happens." This is what he tells the people. This was a crowd. He said, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" Our present time, we are so full of ourselves. I say us. It's not about you. It's not about me. We're here for a time. Are you listening? We're here for a time, a beginning to an end of the thing we call creation. The Bible, the New Testament especially, is full of walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. What does walking in the Spirit require? and understanding that this closeness to Jesus is not how much work we can put into a project, how much time we can spend in this and that, how much we have to offer, how much tithe we give, how much time we do this. Time's not relevant to God.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't see the future. The future is relevant to us.
God's already in the future.
It's
because
not
he's
relevant
eternal.
To him.
Mm-mm.
And I've changed my definition of eternity. Eternity is not a space of time
that we're going to.
We're not going to it. Once we learn what eternity is not a time period. Time period only applies to our physical being. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the spirit. The spirit is an existence. It's an aspect of being. God doesn't have to see the future. He is God. He says, I am. Yesterday, today, and forever, that's relevant to us. Right? That's how he can explain it to us. Yesterday, today, and forever is a being. It's existing. One of my good friends says it's a circular thing when you understand what the Spirit is, when you understand what God is. We can interpret these things physically. He says you can see all these things. Why can't you interpret the present time? Because you're not looking at it spiritually.
This is why we're told to keep your heart with all diligence. And many times, and I haven't been able to look it up right now because I'm on another scripture, but many times heart and mind are the same root word. Keep your heart, that core of you, with all diligence. Because out of it flows every issue of your life. Why am I going through this? Well, maybe you've been attracting some negative things because that's what your heart has been set on. You've been thinking about it. You've been consumed about it. You've been researching it. You've been talking about it. Change the way you think and talk. That's why Jesus said, take every thought captive to obey the obedience of Christ Jesus. Take it captive. We have to do this a lot, especially if you're a warrior. You realize you are a warrior in Jesus. It's the warrior mentality. The enemy's constantly throwing things at you. But I wanted to go really quick to John 14:25, talking about that gift of peace. These things, Jesus said, I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. See, he's still doing it right now. What are the things Jesus has said to us? Well, there are things we read in the word that he spoke already, but there are things that he speaks to you daily by his Holy Spirit. And he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. See, there's a peace of Christ, and then there's a peace that the world offers. And their peace doesn't look anything like his. You've got to know the difference. Surely by now we know the difference. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear is not of God. It is not of God. So let your heart not be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I'm going and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And he's acknowledging the three, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, right there. They are three.
I love the peace, and I love the peace. I love the peace that Jesus brings. You know why we don't proclaim it on the rooftops? You know why we don't stop in the middle of anything and pray for people and minister at all times and put yourself on the line for this word and for this gospel? You know why Paul Revere could do it? You know why Ezekiel could do it? The message that he was talking about, this message from God. because he knew what the bigger cause was. He knew what the end was. He knew who was in charge. He knew what the cause was. He sacrificed himself to get that message out. Do that this week. We encourage you. You've been listening to the Ag Preacher. We'll see you next time.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. You're listening to 88.1 FM, KCGS, Marshall, Arkansas.